for His faithfulness. And I tell you what, as time draws on before the Lord returns, you're going to be thankful for His faithfulness too. If you choose to lean on it, appreciate that, ladies. They'll be singing for us again here in just a few minutes. Get ready for the baptism. But again, appreciate them being here this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 1. Book of Romans chapter number 1. I don't know how many preachers preached in their own revivals, but I'm about to. Romans chapter number 1. Just give you a thought that the Lord's laid on my heart. There's a lot going on. God gave me this message on Friday, and when I was studying my Bible and going over some things, and I'm not going to be preaching much this month, and so I was enjoying being able to study my Bible without digging up something to preach. You know, some of you men that have pastored or preached or had to get sermons ready, it just seems like everything you read and everything you study, it's trying to find something to preach. It's hard to just read for enjoyment. So I said, well, I'm just going to do some reading and studying for enjoyment. And I've dug up something to preach. So Romans chapter 1, God laid some of my hearts. The Lord gave me this message. I said, I don't know. I'm preaching at Brother Clardy's this week. Is it for then or when is it for? And he said, I want you to preach that church. So Brother Daniel's coming. And now Brother Daniel's not coming. So, all right, Romans chapter 1, two verses here. I'll give you this and try not to be too long this morning. But, man, I tell you what, there's a lot going on in our society. And child of God, you better be prepared for what's about to happen. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, the unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. God, I thank you for each and every person that's here, Father, and I failed to mention our visitor this morning. I'm so thankful, God, that he chose to come be here with us this morning to worship with us. Father, we pray that the service is a blessing to him as well as everyone else that's here, God. But we're thankful that he came and chose to be here today, God. I pray that we would be an encouragement, a blessing to him. Lord, thank you for the Cokers, Lord, and their family, Lord, and these girls. Lord, thank you for that ministry. And Father, thank you for the sweet spirit that we feel today, God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for our Bible. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for this morning. And Lord, you're all in all. God, everything we have today and everything we can be thankful for is because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we please you today, God, in our worship. Lord, we just want to magnify and lift you up. It's not about us, not about me or any person that's saved. Lord, it's about your Son, Jesus Christ, and you being lifted up. And Father, I pray that you are pleased with the service up to this point. God, I pray you'll be pleased with the remainder of it, Lord. Help this message to be a help, a blessing. God, I pray it brings conviction or comfort, whatever's needed today. Pray you bless the baptism we're going to have this morning, Lord. Thank you for the testimony of salvation. And thank you again for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're living in some trying times. We're living in difficult times, but it's about to be even more difficult. I mean, you just get your head out of the sand if you don't realize it, but there's trouble on the horizon. There's trouble right now. In America, we're losing our freedoms. Used to say one at a time, but we're losing our freedoms many at a time. A matter of fact, this week it was put on display, the freedoms that we're losing all at one time. You don't have a choice in the matter, and you don't have a voice in the matter anymore either. Whenever our country will take the President of the United States and certain media platforms will remove the President of the United States from saying anything, we are in trouble. You say, what does that matter? That's the President, and maybe his speech was supposedly inciting riot, even though there's other people that got on there and told people to burn stuff down and attack police, and they're fine. But he gets on there and just says, hey, be patriotic. I'm not going to preach a political message this morning, but I'm trying to tell you we're in trouble. You say, how does that mean we're in trouble? They get it to the President of the United States. I promise you they'll do it to this pulpit. And they'll do it to every God-fearing pulpit in the country. They'll be okay only with the messages that they're okay with. Amen. I thought I deleted, I got told it's still there, but I deleted our church's Facebook account this week. And I deleted every social media that I have. If they're gonna, the President of the United States is not allowed to be on there. I don't want nothing to do with it. And I don't want anything this church has going on to be put on there. The girls will get up and sing again here in just a minute. I don't believe the child of God has anything to do with it anymore. So, hey, it's a platform for us to preach. Hey, I'll tell you what, Noah was the preacher of righteousness, but there came a time where he stopped preaching. You saying we should stop preaching? No. I'm not saying that. We're still got our ark here. But I'll tell you what, it's not going to be on social media anymore. They have their chance. I know some people probably don't agree with this. That's fine. Amen. But I'm telling you, what they're going to do is try to silence us. What they're going to try to do is try to cause problems. And it's nothing but trouble. Amen. Nothing but trouble and aggravation. And I'm telling you, America, we're losing our freedoms many at a time. They started with this thing with a mask. And I understand there's people that are dying, but they've proven that that doesn't fix anything. A proven fact. Wear it if you want to. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it. Amen. But the thing is, today it's a mask. Tomorrow it's a shot. Today it's a shot. Tomorrow it'll be a mark. I'm getting somewhere in my message here. And the girls will be back up to sing in just a minute. If there's any hope at all, they'll be singing here in just a minute. The President of the United States of America cannot tweet, which sounds feminine in itself, but Muslims and murderers can. What are you getting at, brother? What does that have to do with church? You know what it has to do with church? It has to do with somebody walking through that door and looking up here saying, you can't say that. I'm telling you, it's happening. It's happening right now. Preachers in California being threatened to be arrested. It's coming here. You say, Alabama? Yeah, it's coming here. It's coming. I'm just trying to help. You're not being very encouraging this morning. You know why those songs meant so much to me this morning? Because I knew what I was preaching. A mansion over the hilltop, it'll all be worth it all when we see Christ. I knew exactly what I was preaching this morning. And it will be worth it all to stay in the fight. It'll be worth it to stay in the fight. There's a man by the name of Donald Gray Barnhouse, and I don't know a lot about him, but I've got a series of books he wrote on the book of Romans that I enjoy. Most of everything I've read in there so far, I've agreed with and enjoyed it. If he's a false teacher of some sort, I don't know about it yet. If I get to it, I'll mark it out and keep reading. Have as much sense as a chicken. A chicken doesn't eat the rocks. They eat the seeds that falls in the rocks. Amen. They don't eat rocks, and if they get one, they spit it out. Amen. We went to the Chattanooga Aquarium, and there's a bottom feeder in there. Amen. And it's going through there, and it sucks up a bunch of rocks, and it shoots all the rocks back out. And guess what it did? It got algae off of those rocks and spit the rocks back out. So what are you getting at? I can read some stuff sometimes that might not be 100%, but spit the junk back out. Amen. Amen. I don't know. This guy might be great. I don't know if anybody knows him or not, but I got the books, and I'll do it. All right. Christ. This is what he said back in 1952. He said it's in 1952. Christ would not be permitted to broadcast in America today. If Twitter was around and social media and Facebook was around, he would say he would not be allowed to broadcast or tweet or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, or Instagram. Christ would not be permitted to broadcast in America today. He said this in 1952. If he wished to tell the government leaders of the day that they were whited sepulchers and a generation of vipers. You know my Savior said that about the government of that day? He said that they were whited sepulchers and a generation of vipers. You know what they would do? They would delete his account. The Lord Jesus Christ. They would cause problems for Him. And I'm telling you that we should not be surprised by what we've seen this week, because we've been conditioned for it for several years. Everything that's happened in our country has led us to this point. soon as they knew for sure that he was not going to be the president for another 4 years, they opened the door and there's no hiding anything anymore. And they're trying to get him complete. And again, I'm not trying to make this political, but I'm trying to tell you, just turn on the news for just a few minutes and turn it back off. But turn it on and you'll get a glimpse of what's coming towards the church. It's coming. It's coming. There's been some that have had to deal with things already. Facebook, Hollywood. And you know what? Now these big tech companies and all these things, and I'm going to get to the scripture in just a second. I just read two of the verses we're going to preach out of. But they have positioned themselves where they control everything. Unless I'm mistaken, every person in this building, if they want an app on their phone, they either have to get it from Google or Apple. And now there's social media platforms that say, listen, we believe in free speech. Say what you want. We're not going to block it. And Apple and Google said, that's fine. We'll remove it off our platform. You can't even get the app. You know what that means? No free speech. Amen. You know what that relates to? Not long from now, you can't preach what you're preaching. It's already started, but I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Christians up to this point have had more concern for their self, for pride, for vanity, than they have what the Word of God says. And there's some Christians that are just blown away. Oh, I can't believe this is happening. You know, Solomon told us back in the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, save the preacher. He said, I had riches, I had men servants and women servants, I had dancers, I had entertainment, I had everything the world could offer. And it's all vanity. And all the only thing that matters is what's done for Christ. A child of God, what have you done that is going to last for Christ? Because the rest of it doesn't matter. And the rest of it, the world and the devil has used to control things. This Bible is already regarded as hate speech. Already. This Bible that we held up and sang about, the Bible the girls sang about, is already determined to be hate speech. It's already determined to be something that's just awful because it claims that there's a creator. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. There's no evolution. There's no part of that. God created the heaven and earth, period. But that's already an attack against them. Why? They want to do away with God. They want to do away with our Bible. So we find here in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I'm thankful this morning that I'm saved. Amen. Brother Jim said in his testimony, I'm not going to hell. Amen. And I can say the same thing. I'm not going to hell. Amen. Now, the Bible did not tell us that we would never go through tribulation. We're all going to go through trials and tribulation. The Bible did promise us that we're not going to go through the great tribulation. We're not going to have to experience the wrath of God during the great tribulation. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. Man, but I'll tell you, that day's coming. The day's coming. Turn with me, if you will, quickly to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Paul warned of this wrath. Paul warned of this wrath of God that is to come. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse number 22. This is that message that Paul preaches here on Mars Hill. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. I mean, we live in a day today where most Christians, that's all they are, superstitious. That's all. Everything they do is because of superstition. I mean, I'm sure if someone's real superstitious and came to our church and they were superstitious about giving, they probably have a cow in the parking lot that we didn't pass a plate and they didn't get a chance to put money in. Now the dryer's going to fall apart or whatever the case might be. Amen? Just real. Most so-called Christians today are real superstitious. I serve God because of how good He is to me. Amen? And I do it for the blessings of God. Amen? But God put a law into place, the law of sowing and reaping. If you choose not to be a Christian, you choose not to live right and do right and read your Bible and go to church, you will have a miserable life. With no peace and no joy. Is God pouring out wrath? I don't think so. I just think you're trying to live a life without God. And in order to get back right with Him, you need to get back in line with Him. Amen? So He's preaching to these superstitious people here. Verse number 23, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Everybody's going to worship something. Somebody says, "I'm agnostic," or "I don't believe in a God." They're worshiping something. It might be themselves. But everybody's going to worship something. "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you." Paul said, "Hey, you guys are saying we're worshiping the unknown God. We know there's a God. We know there's somebody out there, but we don't know who He is." Paul said, "Let me tell you about who He is. Whatever good thing this guy's done, let me tell you about Him." It says in verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." I mean, he was quoting their poets. He said, even your poets, Mars Hill, even your poets made a comment that we are His offspring. We're created by God. Even their own poets said it. Paul said, "I want to tell you about Him. That's the one that, hey, the breath you have in your body is from Him. The fact that we're able to do anything is because of Him." Verse 29, "For as much then," there's a lot of preaching here, but I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. "As we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." Pay attention to this, church. "And the times of this ignorance, God winked at." So what are you trying to say? "In their ignorance, God excused it." Why? They didn't know any better. God winked at it. That's what the verse says, doesn't it? But now, commanded all men everywhere to what? Commanded men everywhere. I'm done winking. Now you need to get right. Now you know the truth. God has sent preachers. He has sent great men of God that swept this country preaching for years and years and years. God excused some of the things I think that took place. He has sent great men of God to stand in pulpits and preach. They said that Jack Hiles, when he stood and preached, their average congregation was 20,000. At one time, it was the largest church in America. An independent Baptist church. Lester Roloff preached to men all over the world through radio. Amen? Some of these great, great men of God say, "We don't see it on that manner anymore." God's done winking. Now it's time to get right. Now it's time to repent. Why? Verse 31. You still with me? Because He hath appointed a day there's a day coming in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. And He'll be just and He'll be right for everything He does. Because you were given a chance. By that man, who? Jesus Christ. Whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. I'm telling you, church, that day is coming. And Paul warned. He warned the individuals right here that that day of judgment was coming. He warned them that that's coming. Look at me in Ephesians chapter 5. He wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he warned them. It's getting bad, but I tell you what, there were some times where Paul was writing to some of these churches when it was really bad. The Corinthian church, that was a wicked place. I mean, full of all kinds of sexual sins and all kinds of just wickedness, and it had made its way into the church. Paul was dealing and ministering to people during hard times. He was ministering to people when they were killing Christians. How do you know? He was killing them. Right before he got born again. Right before he got regenerated. Ephesians chapter 5, look at this warning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Y'all just bear with me. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you the message, and I'm going to baptize. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. That's good wisdom. I mean, anything you turn on now on the media, that's what it is. Vain words. They're empty, they're vain, they're pointless, they're meaningless, they're vain words. And everybody's just sitting there with a dog not watching them. Listening to every word. For because of these things cometh the what? The wrath of God. Here we find Paul again warning about what's coming. The wrath of God. Why? Because of all the vain words. Because of all the wickedness. The wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. What are you saying, Paul? I'm saying that the wrath of God is coming because of their vanity, because of their unbelief. We're going to go back to Romans in a second. I'm going to show you this. And Paul is asking the Christians, be not partakers with them. God smote my heart on this message. That's why I deleted all that stuff. I'm not going to be partakers with them. Quiet. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. You know what I'm doing this morning? The second half of this verse. But rather reprove them. Don't have fellowship with them. I know. I do it to keep up with my family. Send a text message or call them. Hey man, when's the last time those family that you kept up with on Facebook, when's the last time you heard their voice? When's the last time you picked up the phone and said, I'm praying for you? And not in a message where they posted something, you're one of 500 people that posted on that. Amen? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, or rather reprove them. I want to see their pictures. Well, send a picture. We got this cool device now that the devil's taken over that you can send a message from you to somebody with a picture on it. I got a picture from my sister Rufus with a picture of her son holding a truck. And it didn't come through social media. She wanted me to see it, and I got it. So the poker, you know what I did? I gave it a thumbs up. And Twitter or Facebook didn't tell me whether I could do it or not. I just did it. Look at verse 12. For it is a shame. Think about this, church. These aren't just words on a page that mean nothing. These things are becoming more relevant today than they've ever been, at least to me. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. All this stuff is going on in the background. All these big tech. Again, you say, you're getting political. No, no, no. You don't understand. It's not just political. It's a spiritual. Spiritual warfare. Yeah. An attack against our God in this book. They're going to sing in just a minute. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. Why are silly Christians being foolish? You say, why are you calling me a fool? Because you're doing just like they're doing. But as wise, redeeming the time, because the days of evil weren't evil days. Paul warned of this thing. He warned that there is judgment coming. He warned of the wrath of God. And he said, hey, there will be wrath. God, hey, he's coming back. He is, but he's not happy. He's coming back to take the church out of here. Thank God for it. And that he is going to rain down wrath. Because of these things. The Bible does not tell us that we have to go through that. But he is asking you, why would you participate with what they're doing to cause wrath? Why would you want to be a part of it? Why would you want to participate in the things that God's going to rain down wrath for? Just to have a family member that maybe's not saved and you get out of here and then they say, I wonder why they did the same thing I did, but they're gone. Amen. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Walk circumspectly. There's a whole lot of preaching done in all these verses. But go back to Romans 1. I'm going to give you just a few things right here and I'm done. Paul gives this warning. And I'm not going to preach the whole chapter, Romans chapter 1. But I tell you what, there's a lot of relevance to exactly what's going on today. These people, he's preaching to them, warning of the wrath of God. The Bible said here that he was manifest to them. You see that in verse 19? Y'all there? Because that which may be known of God is manifest. How's it manifest, preacher? In them, for God has showed it unto them. God's given them a chance. And we find here, we eventually find the reprobate mind here in this verse. Those turn to a reprobate mind. But I can read this list this morning. I'm not going to do it the second time. And because you know it, I'm not going to read this list. But there's people that are sitting right here that will be listening to this that do these things. That participate with these people that end up being turned over to a reprobate mind. Preacher, no, there's some wicked things mentioned there. It also says unthankful.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got sodomites in this verse, and then you've got people that are unthankful.
It's in there.
Right. Unthankful. I don't have to go over and read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 the list. The Bible said the last days, perilous times shall come. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church going into apostasy. And one of the things that are proven when the church will go into apostasy, which I believe is just about there. I'm not talking about our church. I'm trying to fight against it.
Amen.
But as a whole, it's unthankfulness. Disobedient to parents. Unholy. There's a lot of things in that list. Go over and read it at some time when you want to study over this yourself. But these people here, they didn't have an excuse. The Bible said in verse number 20, they're without excuse. In verse 21, it says they knew God. Verse 26, 3 says they knew the glory of God. You say, it doesn't say that. Yes, it does. It says they knew it because they changed the glory of God. So they knew what it was because they changed it. The Bible said that they knew the truth because in verse 25 it says they changed the truth of God to a lie. They knew the truth. What's the truth? John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth.
Yeah.
They knew it. You say, does everybody know about Jesus? Does everybody know? No, there's people that don't want to know. But God has sent them preachers. God has sent them preachers of righteousness. God has sent messages. So why are churches like ours not busting out of the seams like they were back in the 50s and 60s? I'm telling you, God was winking at the ignorance. He was winking at it. But now that day is coming to a close. The freedoms that we have in our country are coming to a close. It might not be this year, but I think it'll be by the end of the year. We might just be a full-out socialist country by the end of the year. So, well, I know some other socialist countries that preach, and thank God, I know some great churches in Canada. And they're still preaching, thank God for it. But I know some churches that are hiding in other socialist countries that are just as socialist as Canada is, but they don't tolerate it in those other countries. And they hide if they have church. And when they get discovered, the pastor gets arrested and beaten and released. And you know what he does? He goes and finds a new place to hide that. We still have the privilege to walk through that door. And we can't make time to do it. We still have the privilege and we still have the freedom right this second to walk through that door and have church. I think the meetings we're having this year are just as important as, are more important than any meetings we've ever had. Why? They might be the last ones. This might be the last time I send out a flyer saying, "Why don't you have a camp meeting?" I don't know. I pray that we can keep having it some more sometime. I don't know that. I'm telling you, church, we need to make sure our hearts are right with God. Our society for a long time has been leading up to it. I'm going to give you this thought right here, and I'm done. And the idea for our church, if you're not saved in here this morning, you need to get born again. That you will burn up in hell. You're going to go through the wrath if you stay alive, and you're going to go through a miserable, miserable time, and then you're going to end up in hell.
Right.
I don't want to hear that. You don't have to. Jesus is saved away. We heard it this morning, man. You don't have to do that. But if you're saved, why in the world would you want to participate in the things that God says that He's going to bring down wrath for? Is God going to bring down wrath on me and a lightning bolt hit me in the head? If I do those things, you're still sitting here, so obviously not. You've been doing those things, and I mean, obviously not. Not being right to your family, not being right with your wife, not being right with your husband. Amen. Participating in all the vanity of the world. I mean, for years, people taking selfies and all those things, all that vanity, 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 vanity. Media today, vanity. Dang, empty words. Christians participating in it. God, you haven't struck dead now, but why in the world would you want to participate in that? For the same reason God's going to rain down wrath. Here's the message this morning. They don't need God. We're to a place now where they don't need God. And all this is in Romans chapter 1. I'm just going to give it to you and I'm going to be done. You know why? This world, the big tech company, all the world as a whole, all these people riding in the streets, they don't need God. Why? Because they got wealth. They got money. Why do they need God? You say, is it wrong to have money? No. But I'm just telling you where we've come to a place where they don't need God. They've been convinced that they don't need Him. They don't need God. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. You know why people don't need God today? You know why some Christians don't need to be faithful to church? You know why they don't need to be faithful to camp meetings and revivals? And they don't need to be faithful to prayer meetings? And they don't need that because they have MasterCard. Because they've got Visa. If you get to a place where, man, you just have to have something, you just swipe plastic. And we don't get on our hands with our wives and say, we don't have the money to pay for this, and we need it. Why don't we trust God and ask Him? Why don't we try to live by faith and just shall live by MasterCard? Is that what your Bible says? The just shall live by faith. You know why? We're to a point in our churches across America where God doesn't move in. We don't need Him. Why? We've got plastic. We've got a bank account. We've got good jobs. We've got cars. And I'm not preaching against those things. I'm telling you where we've gotten. We don't need God. And you say, well, how in the world can the world in America be doing what it's doing? They don't need God. They don't need Him. The Tower of Babel, they said, we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to build this thing to go to heaven. There's a new app called Babel. So you can learn other languages. The more languages you learn, the less we need God. Why? Because you're self-dependent. It's all right. They don't need God because of their wealth. There's some that don't need God because of welfare. Why do they need God? Their family's going to keep bailing them out. You ever thought about sometimes when somebody's going through a really, really hard time? And I'm telling you, if God lays it on your heart to help them, then obey God. But sometimes you just want to try to help them, and God's trying to teach them something. He's trying to get them to look up. You know how many people, Brother Jeff, they get to the point where they can't take it anymore, and there's one way to look. And they're that close. But tomorrow is the first of the month. And I'm going to go to my mailbox and put a check on there to get new time. I'm just trying to tell you. They don't need God, they have more for them. And it might not be the government, it might be family. Every time they call, we get it to them. God's just trying to show them something. Maybe God's just trying to get them to look at Him. My Bible says God is the cattle on a thousand hills. You want to do it? I got to pay my bills. I know. But keep living in misery and keep living paycheck to paycheck. And keep doing that without God. It's miserable. It's miserable. Amen. You never want to do better for yourself. You never want to do anything better for your family. You never want to try to be able to do more for church. Just going through the. Why? We don't need God. We got these. Some people don't need God because of welfare. Some people don't need God because of their wisdom. Amen. I gotta close this thing down and get the girls back up. Because of wisdom. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Do you know what? Do you know why our society doesn't need God? Just turn on the news, they'll tell you. Just pull up social media for one last time before you delete it, and they'll tell you why they don't need God. They know it all. Yeah. Everybody on Facebook knows you. They know everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Everybody has an opinion. They're all like armpits. They all think. You know the only opinion that matters?
Yeah.
This book.
Yeah.
And I know every time I preach on something like this, someone says, well, I put scripture on there. I'm telling you, they have their chance.
Yeah.
For years, you've been putting scripture, and they're not in church.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just might text you and say, hey, I don't hear from your face anymore. Let me tell you why.
Amen.
And then witness to them. Talk to them.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm so thankful y'all came to send me this morning. Because of wisdom, the world's wisdom. You know, our universities, they're producing all these idiots out here, old son. The colleges of our country are producing those people. They don't need God. You know, most of them don't need God because they've been told their whole life there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Social media again, time and time again. People just all. You know what social media has produced? It's caused most people to sin because you're a busybody. Social media has caused you to sin because you've been through it so much, and now you're a busybody in other people's matters. The Bible talks about that being a sin. When you know everything that's going on with everybody, you're sinning. Well, that's not popular. But we're we're Christians and we do it in the name of, please pray for us. But you become busybodies. You become know-it-alls. It shouldn't be that way. I don't want to know. If it's important, call me. And I'll pray for it. Amen. I put on our prayer thing, do not put on our prayer list Facebook prayer list.
Yeah.
Don't put that on there. Amen. If you don't like it, there's other churches you can post on their Facebook. Why? Why do they not need God? Last of all, just because they're with you. They just love their sin. Look with me in the last verse here. I gotta finish. Romans chapter 1. Look at the very last verse. And again, there's so much preaching to be done in this message in all these verses. I mean, you got backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. That's what all this big tech is. Disobedient to parents. I mean, that's in the list. And I can't preach all this. Look at verse 32. Who's knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They know it. Not only do the same. Understand me, folks. They know it. They don't care. And there's Christians that know it. And they don't care. Not only do the same. He's talking to the church. They know it, but they're going to do the same thing as all these other lost people and have pleasure in them that do that. Fellowship with them. Taking pleasure with them. Chapter 2, verse 1. I'm not preaching all this. I'm just going to read it. Therefore, because of all these things we just said, because of this wrath of God, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. There's no excuse, Christian. We're running out of time. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, and judgest them which do such things and dost the same things? What he's dealing with. Doing the same thing that the world's doing. That thou shalt escape the judgment of God. Or despise thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Church, this morning, let's say you come to the piano. The goodness of God should lead you to repentance. Do you know why you should come this morning? Do you know why you should come and just lay out whatever's in your life before God and give it to Him? Because God's good.
Amen.
You're not going to go through the wrath. Amen? I mean, if you're saved in here, the goodness of God should be what leads you to repentance. We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That day's coming. There's going to be a lot of tears and heartbreak at that day. But we're still going to be in heaven. But why in the world would you participate? Why would we go along with what's going on right now? This last week has been eye-opening. If you've been in your Bible, it'll be eye-opening to you too.
Amen.
This morning as she plays, every head bowed, every eye closed, why don't you come this morning? You come. I mean, God spoke to your heart, you come. Church, we either need to get in or get out. Hey, there's not halfway on the heart and halfway off the ark. They either got in the boat or they stayed out of the boat. The lukewarmness causes God to want to spew you out of His mouth. Either you're going to be a Christian and live like a Christian and behave like one, or you're not. The middle ground makes God sick. The Laodicean church, which is the time that we live in right now, makes God sick. Why in the world would we want to be a church that makes God sick? Why would we want a marriage that makes God sick? Why would we want a home that makes God sick? Man, just there's something in your heart and life this morning that God spoke to you about. Why don't you just get it right with Him? Some of you need to come down here when you get up and leave the altar. You need to spiritually leave some stuff on the altar and sacrifice it to God. What am I going to do with all my time because I spent hours on Facebook? Hey, talk, read your Bible and pray. Become a prayer warrior. Spend 8 hours praying instead of on that thing. What about it this morning? There's many that have come. Is anybody else this morning say, Brother Andrew, that message spoke to my heart. And I want to do business with God. Anybody like that at all? Anybody here today says, Preacher, I'm not saved. Most everybody was here for Sunday school this morning. You heard the message. You say, I'm not saved. I want to get that thing settled today. Would you raise your hand up and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. All right, so you come. Anybody else say, hey, I need to be born again? Anybody like, we already have one, raise their hand. Hey, it's not worth dying and going to hell. Anybody like that at all? There's still some praying. You keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. Say, Preacher, I want to know for sure that I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I want to know for sure. Anybody here say, Preacher, I got some things going on. I need somebody to pray for me or pray with me. We're not a priest. You don't got to confess anything to me. But I tell you what, we'll pray with you. We'll pray that God helps you use your strength. Anybody like that at all? Say, Preacher, I'd just like somebody to pray with me. We're here to help each other. I mean, I'd be more than happy to go to the Lord for you. And there's others in here that'll be happy to go to the Lord for you. Somewhere down the line, somebody went for them. Anybody like that at all? Behavior will affect your day-to-day relationship with God. And if me and Brother Bowen are walking hand-in-hand together and we're serving God together and I decide to go in a different direction and not do right, and I walk away from him, he's just going to keep on going trying to serve God. That's what we ought to do. And that's like our relationship with God. But guess what? Where two or three are gathered together, he'll be there in the midst. So I walk away from that blessing. God's blessing, and I walk away from it. Does that mean God's pouring down wrath? No, you walked away from His blessing. I need Him. I need Him every day. Amen. I didn't mean to go this long, and I love you, church. I want God to help you home. Amen? All right, let's do this. Young ladies, if you would come sing for us.